Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude. And I'm going to go on a limb and say, this might be our snarkiest episode ever.
I think it could be.
I think that's where we're headed. It's episode 396.
Yeah.
The Equalizer 2.
No.
No, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That God. Denzel.
Let me explain something. The movie... First off, that you would make, it's a missed opportunity that you would make a sequel to Mamma Mia and not call it Papa Pia.
It's fair.
Fair enough.
Fair. So, especially revolving around three fathers.
So
it's like...
from the get go, like, so you've missed your opportunity for the trilogy.
So which you didn't give this masterpiece a chance.
Which this, then the third one would be Baby's Got the Diarrhea, right? Like that's.
And she has a, she's. Pregnant with a baby. It's
see?
Like, oh my
see?
God.
It's a complete. So,
she's never, spoiler, she has a baby. That would
be. Like, she's never pregnant.
Papa Pia.
She's like, I'm pregnant. I have a baby.
Baby's got the diarrhea. Can you imagine how that Blu-ray set would look on your shelf?
Also, I would like to say that I don't think Joe knows what a flash forward is. He just said she was not ever pregnant.
But it's just
and
like,
then she had a baby in the movie.
I've got two of them. I know how it works.
No, I don't think. Not the baby thing. I'm saying I don't think you know what a flash forward is.
I know what a flash forward is. I fell asleep and I was like, what happened?
Oh,
you
know,
you missed 9 months later is what happened. That's a flash forward.
So, like, you, like, it's a bad sign when even the title of your movie is a warning. Right?
Here we go again.
Seriously. Here we go. Seriously, though, after seeing this movie, and I kind of expected this, but that is such a literal title with how many recycled songs there are.
Well, how many ABBA songs
the
are
first
there?
One? Well, I mean, they have quite a back catalog, but they...
Do they, though?
Yeah, I mean, they've...
ABBA had a
they
ton
a
of hits.
Lots right. of songs. But so they... Instead of just doing unknown songs or deep cuts, they pretty much recycle 75% of the songs and then throw some in there that are really wedged in to fit the story where you're just like, oh, God.
You mean all of them?
Like Fernando. Oh, my God, the backstory that they had to come
up
for
boy,
that.
Yeah, they were really...
Seriously? Like, yeah. Oh. But anyway, we'll get into it here shortly.
Ugh. Oh, man. So,
but if you're wondering, what songs are they going to do in this one? They used all their hits in the first one. Mamma Mia. Here we go again. It's all you need
so,
to know.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. You're going to want to leave us a review after this one. Might be good, might be bad, but you're going to want to. So there. And don't forget, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, League of Show Sharers. There you go. Patreon.
Patreon.
I really thought you'd go right into it without a hesitation.
/RealSpoilers. So there. I
so,
remembered.
Do you guys know the history of ventriloquism?
I do.
I went to a concert last night, Kevin. Did you know that?
I went to a concert last night.
So, Mamma Mia 2.
So, I never saw the first one. Shocking.
Which is great, because I can't wait to answer your questions.
I don't even know if I have any. Okay.
I love musicals.
I love...
I am not anti-musical, But well, I hate that first movie with the white hot intensity of a thousand suns.
Well, I think it's funny that we have this like perfectly split into three scale here. So on one end of the table, there's Tom. He loves musicals, hates Mamma Mia. The other side of the table is Joe, hates musicals, never seen Mamma Mia before. And me, I've seen Mamma Mia, the musical, the live musical, more times than any show. I love musicals. I love the show. And I love the first movie. I think it's a perfect film adaptation of this fun, whimsical musical with the great music of ABBA.
But like the story doesn't make any sense. Like I think what
it's a
really,
jukebox musical. They wrapped it around the great song.
But I think what bothers me the most about the first one is that it should not have starred Meryl Streep. Like because it stars Meryl Streep, like it doesn't. Like you see, like she's got this kid, and the premise is Joe.
Yes.
Is that she's raising this child on her own. Her mother threw her out of the house when she found out she was pregnant. Okay. But it's Meryl Streep and her daughter is Amanda Seyfried. Am I saying that right? I always feel like I'm saying
her
name wrong.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So like your mother didn't kick you out of the house because you were pregnant. Your mother kicked you out of the house because you were 35. Like what is going on?
Okay. So they completely retcon that in this movie.
What?
Well, no. So
that she's pregnant at. I mean, she's pregnant at.
No. This movie makes no sense.
No. The ages, the time frame makes no sense. And this movie
makes it worse.
The first one, they don't put dates. The first one is very vague. This movie, and I've got an article that I'm going to reference because this writer for the AV Club, I'll just get it out of the way right now. She went through and did a ton of research, which I appreciate because I didn't have the time to be going into all this.
Amanda Seyfried should be pushing 40.
The ages make zero sense at all. But this writer, Carolyn Seide, I think it's either Seide or Seide for the AV Club. She did this great article breaking down the timelines. The headline and the title of this article is My, What the Hell is Up with the Mamma Mia Timeline? It makes no sense. And so she goes through and talks about how, you know, the first one doesn't put any dates on it. It's very vague, but, you know, you assume 60s, 70s.
Well, and that's what made no sense, too, is like they treat Donna, the Meryl Streep character, like she's this like. She was a hippie and it's free love. And then all of a sudden, one of the potential fathers is Heavy Metal Harry. And it's like, but the heavy metal isn't the hippie era. And if she got pregnant when she was a hippie, then she should have had the girl in the like the early 70s. She should be like my age.
So wait, Heavy Metal Harry is Colin Firth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Harry Headbanger, yes.
There we go. Did I get it wrong? Sorry.
It's potato, potato.
Yeah.
But
he's not a heavy metal guy in this movie at all.
No, but when he was a kid, he was.
But he is a kid in this
movie.
But
we see him as a kid.
Well, he's got a little leather jacket on.
That doesn't make you a metalhead.
That make you a greaser.
He had his baby brother's leather jacket on. Did anyone hate how stupid that leather jacket was?
It was ridiculously
so mad. Was that a thing back then?
What's that?
His leather jacket was right below his nips is where it ended.
It was like a leather vest.
It was.
I mean, if you were in the leather scene.
But I mean,
Rob Halford.
Like if you were blowing dudes at Studio 54, then probably.
But he couldn't close that thing.
No,
I mean, it
no,
was
not at all.
Babies.
But I mean, like
what drove me crazy was that when they would flash back to the females.
Okay.
Yeah. And like wealth. Thank God for clarity's sake, they've all had the exact same haircut for 40 years.
How believable is it that these women in the 60s or 70s would have 50-year-old modern haircuts?
Yeah.
So like, it's Christine Bransky and then her counterpart. But yes, yeah. Have the same haircut.
Who
then,
are the highlight of the film?
The two friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the best part of the movie.
I would agree.
I think Colin Firth got the most laughs to me. Like I thought
he's in it for like a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but I think that Colin Firth was hilarious. The other two, I think, were dozing off, and they had to poke him to keep him awake.
So I
cannot believe how much they sleepwalked through this movie, and that's one of the big things. You've never seen it. You didn't like it. But I will tell you what, when you watch Mamma Mia, all three of the dads are having fun. Like, they are awake.
See, like,
they're in it.
Like nobody in this movie is enjoying themselves.
Nobody. Oh, no, I think the gal that plays a young Meryl Streep is.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Lily James is incredible.
I will say that, but
talking about
the returning actors.
Oh, I gotcha.
I mean, God, that Stellan Skarsgård is like.
When he shows up in the fat suit, and I was just like.
I really was like, oh,
what
my God.
What is happening right now? Did he let himself go?
That was
go?
A good, head fake. Yeah. That was a funny. But my point is, though, these, like, Pierce Brosnan, Stellan Skarsgård, I think Colin Firth was funny, but like these guys are sleepwalking. And in the first one, they're having fun.
Yeah, like
the first one,
I mean, it is ridiculous, but the cast is having fun. Yeah. This one is ridiculous and the cast is not having fun.
Right,
it is the Cannonball Run 2 of movie musicals.
I guess I felt like you are absolutely correct. I feel like the flashback cast was having fun.
Cause yeah, because they were new, young actors.
Because they're young and hungry.
Right. Yes. Lily James, probably not so much. Lily James has a pretty solid career.
Lily James.
She's not a household name. She's trying to still take it to the next
Cinderella
level.
She was Cinderella in Disney,
still
though.
Not I mean, a house. I don't think she's a household name.
She was also in Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Yeah. But she's been a lot of stuff, though. But Lily James is great. I will tell you what. I see the same qualities. I know these are two completely different actors, but follow me here. When I see Lily James, I see the same it factor that The Rock has. When he smiles, he's charismatic.
She pops off the
screen. She does. Yeah. Lily James, when she smiles, you're just like, how can you not like her, right? And The Rock is the same thing. When he gives you that smile, you're just like, this guy's so charismatic. I think she's talented. She's beautiful.
When she starts fighting, Vin Diesel, come talk to me.
There you go. Yeah. But anyway, so Lily James is the highlight of this movie. And I'm not saying that saves it. I think this movie was awful. And again, I love the musical and the first one. But when you see her, though, doing her thing, it's hard not to be enamored with her. She is so delightful. But
why do they all have microphones?
They're singers. What do you mean?
But none of them were plugged in.
They were wireless microphones.
In 1979?
I mean, I don't know the exact technology, but...
They weren't wireless in 79.
Yeah, they probably not. Or at least not to the... They weren't cheap enough that some shit bar in Greece was going
to
have them.
Well, let's talk about technology for a second. So back to this AV Club article and the timeline. So the first one, as we mentioned, did not put any dates on anything. This movie does the mistake and the disservice. Now, is anyone that goes to this movie besides us going to care? No. This really doesn't matter. But when you think about it and how it doesn't make sense, it's just weird. So
When was ABBA the most popular?
I'd say 78, 79.
Late 70s? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So this movie puts Lily James's character, the young Donna's graduation in 1979.
Why is she graduating from a British university?
Well, she can go overseas to school.
Kids go to college in different countries.
Clinton went to Oxford.
No, I guess that's true. Okay.
So let's say, so this summer is when she hooks up with the guys and she gets pregnant within the next year or whatever. So in the article, she says, so if Donna's trysts happen in the summer of 79, let's assume Sophie was born in 1980 and that Donna was about 23 or 24. You know, like she was graduating at a weird age or anything
right.
like that. So in 2000's Mamma Mia, it's a major plot point that Sophie's 20 years old, right? So that means that despite being released in 2008, the first film would take place in 2000, now that we're putting dates on them. The film's costumes don't scream 2000, but it doesn't really matter. But the 2000 setting is a little strange, but whatever. But now, here we go again. It says that Sophie is 25. That means that this movie takes place in 2005. But the outfits, the technology, people have iPhones, people have tablets.
That's true.
None of the technology. Why did they choose to only flash forward this movie 5 years? Why did they have to make her 25?
I honestly don't think they cared.
Yeah. Right, but it just doesn't make any sense with any of these times. And so that also means that they only gave Donna like 4 years because she dies a year before this movie that takes place 5 years later.
So you're saying she dies in 2004?
Yeah, they give Donna 4 years to live after she gets re-hooked up with Sam and they're, you know, now they're together on the island and
who
all this stuff.
Who is
Sam? Pierce Brosnan.
Okay. Do we know who her real dad is?
No.
They never tell.
She never does.
I feel like Sam seems like the main one and he always seems like, I'm not saying they do, but
right.
I feel like Sam is the one that really is, but you know, she thinks they're all whatever. So that means, yeah, set up that timeline. The weird thing.
Oh, I'm going to punch you in the face.
You don't want to listen to the song?
No, I don't.
Okay. So next. So young and sweet, only 43. Now, this is, I think, going to play into Tom's point. So there's a pretty simple real world explanation for the weirdness of the Mamma Mia timeline. Mamma Mia begins as a 1999 musical. They write the script, all that stuff. But ever since then, neither the show nor the film adaptations wanted to fully contend with the passage of time. For instance, the first Mamma Mia movie decided to cast actors that were 20-somethings during the Flower Power era, who the actors were in their late to mid-50s in 2008. But the timeline weirdness means they're all theoretically playing characters who are 10 to 15 years younger. The exception's Colin Firth. He's a decade younger than the other two. Again, that's not the craziest thing. They're actors playing characters, whatever. But But yeah. even at
yeah, the actor ages don't match up in Grease either.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But even at 59, as she was during the first film, Streep could pass as a 43-year-old. But Mamma Mia makes a lot of its humor from Donna, Tanya, and Rosie, her two friends, joking about how old and run down they are. Jokes that make far more sense from people in their 50s rather than their early 40s. You could argue Mamma Mia doesn't care, but here we go again, specifically as 67-year-old Stellan Skarsgård referred to himself as a man in his 50s. So yeah. clearly someone put some thought into how old they are and want them to be, but they just didn't care. So it just it starts to break apart with all their ages, and it doesn't yeah. make sense.
Yeah, I have that in my notes, like okay. man in his 50s.
Yeah, like, he's 67. So like the time, they should have never put dates on it. And if they did, the fact to set this only 5 years later, I guess even the bigger question is, although I don't know why they only gave Donna 4 years to live, why did they have to kill Donna?
Because Meryl Streep didn't want to make a whole movie. That's exactly
I mean,
why.
I mean, I get that business point, but it's like, God, it's like...
But they did bring her back.
What,
but I guess she was there for a day.
Clearly, she yeah. was there for half a day.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's the weird thing, because it's like, but she's in it, so I thought it was odd that she would do it, but not...
I think they felt like if they left the character alive, but just wrote her out, people would feel less cheated, where if they're like, okay. she's dead,
right?
Like now you're like, they're going to be all teary and they're not going to focus. You know what I mean? Okay. When it's like, oh, and this main character from the first one flew away, finally left Greece,
which is kind of what I thought they were doing with like, they reference everybody.
Yeah.
Like Pierce Brosnan was, he's, I mean, when they first show him, I was like, well, we'll never see him again.
No,
we do.
Yeah. 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 You do.
But I mean, to me though, as again, as a fan of the show, someone that loves the story and the show and the music of the musical, and then I thought the movie was good too. Like, Donna is such a huge iconic character and I like her so much. Like, just killing her off arbitrarily like that, you know, I mean,
I'm saying Donna and I'm literally just like, Donna Pinciotti is not in this movie. Like, Laura,
you're going to have to learn.
Laura Prepon's not in this movie.
Going to have to learn. There's some more names than
no,
just
there's
one.
Only, there's
each one.
There's one Donna.
So I don't know. I felt cheated because I was like, well, just keep her alive. I would rather that she was just doing things, you know, more busy and yeah. couldn't be in every song. But
I guess by giving her 4 years, it means they can do a Mamma Mia like
oh,
prequel
throwback.
That's
yeah.
in between.
And then, but it will probably be set in some weird
they're gonna do
time
the,
zone.
The ABBA B-sides.
Yeah, so I mean, nothing.
That's what this was.
Yeah, so nothing makes sense in this with the timeline stuff. So you have to throw that away. And again, and even the author of this article states, like, no one really cares about this. People going to see this movie are going for a fun night out. It's entertainment. This doesn't really matter. But for some people, and especially people with podcasts that talk about this stuff, it's like, it's so weird watching a movie. And in your head, as Tom did when he watched it, and as when I was watching it, knowing the first one, you're just like, how do you not care about any of these?
Right.
I also feel like, I mean, if you don't need to see the first one. I mean, to watch this, like, I never saw the first
well,
one.
Well, in the first one, the mom's dead. Like, they, like...
Oh, really?
They flat out reference her death.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. And she does reference this in this article that in the first one, they say she's dead. But in this one, she's a famous Vegas saint.
Right. And she never shows up to anything.
Right. And if there's anything, like, the music industry elite hate, it's unwed mothers.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, I mean, what?
It's like, I right. Also, like, she looks more and more like Lady. Like, when she came out, I didn't know Cher was in this, and I was, yeah. and she, so like, you see her in a silhouette, and I was like, is Lady Gaga supposed to be the grandmother?
That would be weird. I will say this. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I think Cher is horrible in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think her voice does not lend itself to ABBA.
Well, she also,
at all. And I mean, she's doing a whole album of ABBA.
I know.
Oh,
and that,
she is?
I mean, I love this music. And again, I'm not going to keep saying it. I think all the previous...
I'm not an ABBA fan musically. But I will also say they work much better as show tunes.
Yeah.
Than they do is yeah. just listening to.
But
Cher, to me.
But Cher's voice does not lend itself. I thought her versions of the songs were horrible because at the end she even comes back and does a you know, reprise of whatever, of Mamma Mia or whatever song it was. And I'm like, we're going to get a whole
album? Is she still singing?
Yeah.
Is she still touring? Well, I think she's touring, but she's doing a Vegas show?
I think she's got a residency in Vegas, yeah. but yeah.
Okay.
People love her, and I know that she's an icon and all that. I'm not denying it, but she is not right for this movie, and she's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And but
honestly, like, if you wanted a female singer icon to step in and play the role of the grandmother, who could also fit these songs sonically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bette Midler.
Oh.
That would be great. That would have been perfect. Sure. That would have been perfect for the grandmother. Yeah. And, the other thing, too, that rubbed me the wrong way was in this movie, during these flashbacks, we see that Donna basically has one-night stands with the three dads.
Right.
Well, the first movie made
Don't slut shame Donna.
No.
Yeah. Well, I was going to bring that up, and then I was just like, I probably should.
No, I don't care about that. I mean, it's not the one-night stands, but the point is in the first movie, it sounded
like
they had...
What I care about is that they weren't graphic.
Enough.
Yeah.
Or at all.
Lily James is gorgeous, so I'm not going to argue whatever you want to show me. But the point is... They made it sound like she had these great romances with the dads in the first one.
Not just bang him and go.
He took me to the island. We did this. We played music. He bought me this guitar. All this. The first movie, and I know you didn't see it, Job, was all about these guys.
And in their flashbacks in the first movie, it's the actors. It's Pierce Brosnan and it's playing themselves.
Yeah.
They flashbacks. Didn't get younger people.
Right.
Yeah. And a guy who can't do a Scottish accent is like. I think that dude was American.
Yeah.
Which one?
The guy that was Pierce Brosnan's younger double.
Oh. Yeah. I thought he was...
Is he Irish?
He was trying way too hard.
Is Brosnan Irish or is he Scottish?
I thought he's...
I don't know.
I thought he was English.
I don't think he's Brit.
He was James Bond. They don't let non...
That's fair.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Do they? Was Sean Connery?
Sean Connery's Scottish.
He's Scottish. So I guess maybe they let you if you're from the UK.
I think he's Irish.
Yeah. But anyway...
I don't hear color.
Yeah, but the point is that you built it up that Donna had these great romances with these three guys, and they talk about their summer and all these things that they did. But in the flashbacks, they're just one night stands. So that also raises the question as to why these guys were like they felt the need to come back to the island the second that
maybe,
they heard.
Maybe
that,
it was that good.
It just it breaks apart the entire romance of the first movie and the story because really they didn't know each other, any of them, for more than a day.
Well, and I also think that when again going back to like this musical originated in 99, I think some of that is in 99. I don't think they could have a main character be sympathetic who gave it up to three guys
in a
week.
Matter of 3 days.
Right, where nowadays I think people are a lot more likely to be like, okay, well, you know, she was young and having a little crazy. It also means she had, but this is always
unprotected sex.
Unprotected sex with three guys.
Right, it is the 70s.
She could be patient zero for AIDS.
But, you know, I'm looking at purely from the romance story where the only one that she spent time with was Sam for a week or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why she's the one that's closest. But she talks about in her songs like how, you know, she was cheated by him and all this. And they try to wrap the story around it as best as possible. But it really, with these new timelines, so that they get three meet cutes in a movie.
Oh,
they,
my God. Three. When we get the first one and I was like, son of a bitch, we got two more of these. We're getting three meet cutes.
Also, like, these dudes are, how do I put this mildly? They're super beta where they're just like, very femme dudes.
Yeah, that is not the kind of guys who were crushing tail in 1979.
The guy who goes to Lily James is like, this is my first time having sex. I'm sure a gal looking like Lily James is like, cool. Well, not with me, you're not.
He convinces her for a day to take his virginity.
Well, and it doesn't like...
And then he's like, the little spoon. I was like, ugh.
They're walking in the park, and he's like, I'm too scared to hold your hand. And then at lunch, he's like, mind if I put it in you?
Yeah. It's like...
I do like her reaction, too. She's like, what? Like no. All right, that's fine.
It's weird. It's just weird.
But they're all like, especially him, where I was just like, oh. And then he's like
that young Skarsgård guy. I thought was related because he has 20 actor kids. I'm like, that's got to be a Skarsgård, right? I'm like, that's good casting.
Did you get the sexy one? The one that was Tarzan.
Oh, Alex. Yeah. Yeah.
The big one.
But this guy looked like a like Skarsgård. And I'm like, okay, I thought he was pretty.
Yeah, but it was just like, and then.
You didn't like his cute earring?
No.
Oh, okay.
And then he's like laying on her chest and she's like stroking his hair. I was like, what are we doing?
This is not this Joe's is idea
not
of
at
love.
All. No, it's not even that. Like, but it's just like he's so wormy.
I don't know.
He's like, meh. And that, also.
And then,
no.
So what's the, so we got Harry Headbanger, who was trying to do a Pierce Brosnan impression, which, I mean, he
wait,
had.
Wait, Harry Headbanger.
No, I'm sorry. Colin Firth.
Yeah.
He got his.
I thought he did a good job.
His mannerisms were
down. But then the other two didn't at all.
No. They're
completely different.
No. It's the Pierce Brosnan guy that was just like, you're not even trying to, or are you trying? I don't know. But, Stellan Skarsgård is Bill. He's like a fisherman. He's a boat racer kind of a guy. And, what's the other? Oh, so the big one, though, is Sam, though. He's Pierce Brosnan's character. And so he's the one that, like, aside from the two one-night stands she had, they had a relationship.
Yeah.
But she finds out that he is engaged. And so...
Also, you're a creep. Like, you've had, like, 2 weeks to tell this gal that you're engaged and you don't do it. You're a creepo.
Well, yeah.
That's not okay.
Well, clearly it's not okay. And he left that day. They never talked again for 30 years or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, that, I thought that guy.
Well, and when she finds out, it was weird. There's a weird line. Mm. I know. she's like, this time we're through. And I'm like, this time? Like, if you're like 6 days in and you're saying this time in a fight, like, you just need to pack it in.
Call it a day.
Yeah, like, it's not going to get better.
But it's like, that's obviously a pretty big offense when you find out that you're dating someone that's engaged.
No, but what he's saying is, like, when she's like, the line this time means they've already,
like, they've already had fights like this.
Was it a musical
and
line?
And this time, no, it's not in a song.
Oh, wow.
It's a spoken line of dialogue. It's not, like, a song that just didn't adapt.
Right, I know it's hard because they're trying to wrap a story around
And it was, so it was just... Just like,
yeah. Then the boyfriend's name is Sky.
Yeah,
it's a guys and dolls crossover.
But yeah, it's just like, you know, if you guys just talk it out, it's another one of those movies where it's just like, call her, dude. Just call her. You'll figure this out.
Oh, but he shows back up because apparently he's dumped his fiance or whatever.
Oh yeah.
But then he sees that she's gone on a date or slept with Stellan Skarsgård's younger self
again,
and then he just leaves.
Yeah, he's like, all right, man. No, I mean Sky. Like, they're having this fight. So, like,
oh, that's that's a communication thing. Yeah,
call her. Like, if you're into this chick, and you should be, you should lock it down as fast as you can. Just call her.
But and she's staying in an abandoned house. Like, I don't know that calling her is.
What?
Wait, what are we talking about?
Amanda Seyfried
called on
and,
the phone.
And Dominic
Cooper.
Oh, I
thought you were talking about.
No.
Gotcha.
No.
He's talking about present time.
Yeah, that's just such a plot contrivance.
I hate that stuff.
Such a plot contrivance.
It's just like, if you just make a phone call and you have a little fight.
Because I was like, calling Greece in 1979.
Totally legit.
But yeah, like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, you've got the phone in the bar.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
That opening scene. God, I hate it. I mean, I hate all of it. But
graduation
scene.
Oh my God!
This song says teacher. That'll work. Oh. Like, why? Do we think that, like, she's the valedictorian? Like, this flighty, like, dreamy, like, I never really commit to anything. She's the valedictorian that gets to go up and make a speech.
And
also, can someone explain to me why there are more people graduating than there are people there to view the graduation?
Yeah.
Like, is this class made up like 30% orphans?
This is the arts and sciences division of Oxford.
Yeah, like, what? I like, don't understand. And then she goes up and sings this stupid song. And then like
the teacher gets into
and
it?
Then the teacher
I hate
sings
it.
So,
like,
a verse.
But then she, like, kisses the teacher. I'm like, did y'all hook up?
Yeah.
And then they run out and have a musical number in the street the people at the graduation go ahead and stick around.
This is everything.
And continue the number.
So those kids didn't graduate. They just went off and sang the song and ended up.
This is everything I hate about musicals.
But this one's bad by musical standards.
No. This is the problem. So this movie is. I know that it's ridiculous, but it's fairly grounded. But then they try to do this abstract piece where everyone joins in. This movie isn't like that.
And,
like,
the
people
all
sing because they're in a rock group. It's fairly organic. Like, and I know they bust down songs, but it made no sense for the teachers, the kids to have a choreographed dance. It's not that type
of
musical.
When the kids that are graduating are in the park, there's like twice as many kids as were in the room. Like,
everybody had gotten there yet, Tom. They were still filing
out. I don't understand.
I hated that.
She invented crowd surfing.
Yeah, did you know that?
Yeah, like, yeah.
It was frustrating.
Also, nobody touches their butt, and I'm just like, well, when you crowd surf, there's There's butt touching.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that was my biggest complaint with the movie.
That's why I crouched her face down.
But yeah, it really was off-putting because, again, they were setting us up. Like, I like fantastical musicals where, like, the whole thing is abstract and out there. Like, you know, like Across the Universe, I really like. That's another jukebox musical.
God, I hate that movie.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
I love it. But
I like that movie was so – I literally would – there were scenes I laughed out loud at.
Oh.
That you
like,
weren't supposed
I was
to
like,
at?
This is so bad.
Oh, I love it. But I like how in that movie – they're abstract and weird, but like they're all like that. It's a fantastical musical.
Sure, yeah.
But this movie starts off with a number and then never does it again.
Yeah, you see a couple
aside
like
from the boat scene when they're dancing.
Yeah,
that's the,
and there's a scene when they're in the, like going through the village and they're dancing. Maybe it's
oh,
the
are
same
they?
Scene.
Okay, yeah.
I did want to talk when we get there, like the scene of them marching up the side of a mountain to baptize this baby.
Right,
and I was like, that's a big ass walk.
Yeah.
Up the, like, it's a steep walk up the side of a mountain.
Luckily,
that's why they're called steeples.
Yeah. That's right. Luckily, they did it on green screen because they clearly were not on location.
Oh,
that
no.
Day.
I also did. Oh. I did appreciate that Pierce Brosnan and Colin Firth and Stellan Skarsgård, like, were breathing heavy. And I was like, yeah.
Just from the one
just
flight
the
of stairs
one,
up
right,
the,
yeah,
to
yeah,
the studio.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should probably all have died halfway up. It's a rite of passage to see your possible grandchild get baptized.
The first one was gorgeous, and I think that
was shot on location.
Filmed all on location.
I think this one is green screens and a little bit of location stuff in Croatia.
Different location, but there's a little bit. But God, the green screen's bad. When you see their hair blurred out with the generic background, you're like, they're all just on a.
It was like 70s era sitcom.
Yes,
green screen.
It was really cheesy and bad. But yeah, I didn't like that song. I didn't like how it started off. So I think it really gets off on the wrong foot. But it's just, it felt so lifeless. And the thing, Joe, I know you've never seen the first movie or especially the musical, but it is such a fun, energetic musical where, like, it's hard when you're there not to feel like you're at a concert. Like, if you know the songs and love them, like, it makes you want to sing along or get up, but you're at a musical. You can't stand up, you know?
Okay, so my musical tastes lean more towards metal, punk, you know, heavy, you know, stuff like that. To me, ABBA is the epitome of garbage music.
Wow.
Like, I hate, like, disco. I can't stand all that crap. So, like, even I know Fernando. I know Mamma Mia. Sure. Just because I feel like those are, like, cultural song. Like, those are pop culture songs.
Yeah.
But, like, just the idea of their music turns my stomach.
Okay.
Because it is, I hate it
so
much. So, like, immediately I'm just like, yeah, this music sucks. Like, even like, and I don't even like Rock of Ages.
Oh, yeah, that's another good show.
See, the problem I had with Rock of Ages is somebody who loves that kind of music is the whole time I was like, no, wrong song. Like,
I
can give you three songs that would work better here. Like, like, and I know sometimes it's about licensing, but yeah, like the whole movie, I was like, no, you should be using this. Like, the opening number should be set to Just Like Paradise by David Lee Roth. Like, it names all these characters. They could have based characters on it, and it's like, and it would have worked for like going through this bar and like it would have been perfect.
That's another really fun stage show though. Yeah. Like Rock of Ages. You know, I know a lot of people don't like the movie. I thought it was okay, but
that's
when
the Tom Cruise one.
Yeah.
Right?
When you go see that live though, I mean again, it's so fun and so energetic. These jukebox musicals, I mean, first of all, it's based on if you like the music. You hate ABBA.
Hate it.
You're not going to like Mamma Mia, whether you like musicals or not. You hate ABBA.
If you don't like Billy Joel, you're not going to like Moving Out.
Yeah, it's all based on your taste, first of all. So that's what you got to get through. But I think for people that do like the music and do enjoy the musical, the first one was really good. But now, what I found really confusing was that critics panned the first one. They thought it was awful.
Yeah.
But then this movie has an 80-something percent out of over 100
reviews.
Yeah,
I think this is an example of two things at play. I think critics have probably warmed up to the first one in retrospect.
I see.
Like
So it came around.
They felt like, you know, looking back, like, I mean, like I was flipping when I was cleaning out my mom's house after she passed away. Like I found old issues of Entertainment Weekly.
Playboy.
And it was like, no, my mom really didn't read it.
She did.
She just looked at it for the pictures.
but
She's like, these articles are awful, but look at the cans on this one.
Only, yeah, only
Marilyn
men
Monroe.
Read it.
Yeah.
Men read it for the articles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And, but I found a... like an issue where they're reviewing Office Space and they gave it a
oh really
C.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that did that failed
oh
dramatically at the box office.
All, yeah. Just awful.
That
just
was
awful.
A cult.
What a
that was a
movie.
DVD
yeah.
Home video cult
but so
classic.
I think the critics okay. Like came, were like, you know, like we viewed this movie through the wrong prism. We took it too literally. Yeah, it
right.
Wasn't meant to be this certain thing, and okay. For what it is, it performs okay. And I think now they've overcorrected.
Okay.
Because even though I hated the first one and stand by it, I do get what people like about it. But this is like, and the song selection in this movie
yeah.
Is crap. Like, it's just like they ran out of hits.
Yeah.
And so
it's
like it's a bunch of
there.
Songs I've never heard until
deep,
they
deep
until they
cuts.
Recycle stuff from the first movie.
And then it just feels
how
like
how did they not use Fernando in the first movie?
Because look at the plot gymnastics they had to go through
true,
to justify
yeah.
Using it because of the lyrics. You have to wrap
was
it around
Andy
the lyrics.
Garcia in the first
no,
movie?
No.
But okay. Like it's such a story song.
It's a story. And
like,
how are you gonna
yeah, how yeah, you can't just drop it in and
Donna's not gonna say one of these fathers was off fighting a war when she had a one night stand.
There,
like it didn't
yeah.
Fit.
There's a
even with their wonky timeline.
Yeah,
there's a that 70s show episode where Donna is dancing to Fernando.
Oh, okay.
They go like roller skating. Oh, no, wait. Maybe it's Jackie and Fez. It's Jackie and Fez.
Okay.
But still.
And I don't get why Fernando is a hit. That is an awful song.
I'm not anti-ABBA,
but that song is just
that's
horrible.
Katie loves it. She was happiest in there. I'm like,
I don't get it.
That and Mamma Mia are the only songs I know.
That was
Dancing Queen?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
Dancing Queen,
enough.
You
yeah,
have to,
yeah.
Yeah. That is their... That's bigger than Mamma Mia. I mean,
yeah,
Dancing
sure,
Queen is
sure.
Their song,
yeah.
Their anthem. But yeah, so as we get into it, just it bounces back and forth. So it's it's the current day Sophie opening her mom's hotel.
Donna's reopening the hotel?
Well, yeah, she's like really renovated it. So Donna's been dead for a year, and she's having this big grand opening, and she sent invitations to everyone. And so it's flashing back and forth of the memories of, you know, of Donna and how she grew up and how she came to the island. The other thing that was weird about this one was like the two friends, they just completely wrote off. In the first movie,
yeah.
In the first movie, she has two best friends that come to the island for the wedding. And this movie, it's like you don't bring back the two friends to come to the grand opening. Like it was weird to just write
yeah,
off two main
characters.
Do they
just show? They're just like, hey, we're just going to show up. Like, is that kind of
who they write off? I don't understand.
Sophie's friends for the wedding.
Oh, Sophie's
not,
friends.
Not Tommy Donna's.
Okay.
No, no. But
I forgot she had
her
friends.
Her best friends yeah. Are like, I mean, they're in the first song. They're so
who,
excited.
Were the friends
no.
Anybody of
no,
note?
No, no, no. Okay. But they're a major part. And then it's like, well, they're not there at the grand opening. So that was kind of weird, I guess, to just get rid of two characters.
But it's like if they weren't main characters, like if it wasn't like, oh, we have to pay Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson to come
back.
Oh,
they weren't. Yeah,
that's
no,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes they go on to be big names.
Right.
Like, whoops, can't afford them anymore.
I guess
yeah.
They're not coming back, but then why not bring back the two no-namers?
Yeah.
You know, I guess that doesn't make any sense.
Here's another weird one from the article. This headline or title of this section is called Sam's Sons. So in the first movie, Joe, you would learn that Sam, when he comes back to the island for Sophie's wedding and they're doing the whole who's the dad type of thing, he says that he did get married to that woman that he
okay.
Was going to leave or whatever. He has two sons. So based on their ages.
So Sophie's brothers. In theory, right?
If he's the dad, they'd be.
But we're saying that he is the
half
dad.
Brothers,
right? Half brothers,
yeah, yeah.
But brothers, yeah.
Okay, so when they are 20 years old and they meet, he doesn't have kids yet.
Okay,
okay. So based on the timelines, his kids would only be at the oldest in their early 20s. At the oldest, right?
Sure.
So they certainly can't be older than Sophie, who's 25. Given there's no indication of the fiance he was cheating on with was pregnant while he was sleeping with her. And even if Sam got his fiance pregnant with twins the second he returned, his sons couldn't be older than 19 or 20. Realistically, they're probably younger. Yet Sam talks about them like they're 30 somethings who are settled in their adult lives, and he's just referring to sending them off to college. Also, he left his family and presumably has no contact
out in a hut
with his 20-year-old kids to be with Donna and Sophie. So it's like they completely wrote off this plot, you know, from the first one.
He's hanging out in a hut on a deserted Greek island.
Yeah, it's just
with his compass and, you know, protractors and
yeah,
things.
That, it just yeah. shows you they have no there was no care for anything they set up.
Is
in
this
the first
the same
one.
Director as from the first one?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so. Okay. This is Thandi Newton's husband, Ole Parker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, he wanted to make some money considering she's making all that Westworld money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like Kevin said, this movie jumps back and forth between young Donna and
Dead Donna.
Literally ghost
Literally,
Donna.
Yeah, ghost Donna.
Which is the very end. It's a reveal. It's a spoiler. Like, here's the thing. When I saw the marketing for this movie, first of all, I said, how the hell are you going to do this? They've used all the good songs.
Right.
Second of all, I'm like, why don't they show Meryl Streep? It's like they're alluding that she's dead, but not saying it. So I thought it was a head fake kind right. of a thing to like, oh, maybe she's just doing something else or whatever. But they never say she's dead. They're like, oh, she would love to be here. She, you know, it's alluding to. Nope. The first 10 minutes of the movie, they're like, she's dead.
She's dead.
Yeah. So, the first time you see her, they're hanging up a hazy focus picture of her. I'm like, nothing says she's not in this movie.
Then the Instagram filter,
like the framed
portrait.
Photo of yeah. an actor.
They're hanging it up at the new hotel, like as a, you know, center, like when you walk right. in the foyer, it's yeah. there.
Danny Ocean didn't even get a yeah. framed picture.
Because he's, yeah, not, really
he's
dead.
Not really dead.
Yeah, we'll
that's
see.
That's right.
She poured two drinks, right, Joe?
That's right.
So they don't, then they you don't ever see her until the very end. You just see the young one. And yeah. then at the very end,
she's like standing above the baptismal fountain.
Yeah, she pops up for one song as Ghost Donna.
Ghost Donna.
And it's just weird. It's,
yeah, and I will say, like, I'm sitting there. I went to see it at the Chase. Sitting in the back row because I'm just like, I don't want to be anywhere near anybody while I'm watching this movie. And it is just like audible.
Tap, tap. Toe
yeah,
tap.
Yeah,
tap,
tap. Tap.
Huh? Joe's like, well, I got nothing else to do.
Whatever, dude. Like, you, if you want to take care of business on me, I'm not doing it to you, but that's fine. But like, I can just, when they get to that scene at the end with the baby, yeah. it is just like audible.
I know.
We're it's like, whoa, God.
We're not the target demographic.
No,
we
no,
probably
we're
sound ridiculous talking about this movie.
It's, but no, we got to throw a curveball.
But it's going
to. We do.
At the end of the day, it's going to make money. People that love the first one and just want a fun night out are going to love it. Someone on Twitter replied after I was talking about how it was such a far fall from the first one. And she's like, someone in the theater stated it perfectly. They said, this movie is completely ridiculous and I loved every second of it. Like, the people going to see it,
yeah, I think even people that love the movie would listen to this and be like, well, I mean, you're not wrong, but I
but
like
yeah and yeah. and I want to say that's fine. We're not here to say if you enjoy
it is,
this
it
movie
is movies in
it's at, a deep their, fried musical taco
yeah
at their at movies at their heart at their base it's a subjective art form, you know,
like all
like,
art, yeah.
yeah, exactly. So like the obviously I saw a flick called Mayhem that was fudging amazing. Not everybody's gonna like it.
Yeah,
like it's ridiculous.
So when we talk about movies, if you like it, we're not saying, oh,
no,
you shouldn't like it, or you're dumb, or you're bad
unless
taste.
You like the DC movies, with the exception of Wonder Woman, then you're dumb.
But that's fact.
Yeah, right. Yes.
No, but so
art has ceased being subjective.
Yeah,
when it comes to those.
Yeah. Yeah. So this movie, I mean, from a critical perspective, was bad. We pick it apart because that's what we do. It's for entertainment. If you like it, by all means, watch it. Watch
and
the
you
hell out
of it. And
you
want to spend your money on it, do it.
Yeah. So
yeah, go
these
for
are
it.
Never looking down on people that enjoy movies that we
no.
think are bad. I just want to throw that out there. It's
again,
just,
with the exception of the DC stuff.
But that's like doesn't even need to be said, Joe. That's like it's law. It's, but anyway, so yeah, and it's just, I mean, there's not much more to really say. I mean, so there's
we're bouncing back and forth. We get like, so you've got, they have to give Amanda Seyfried's character some sort of drama. So like she has like these millionaires that are coming to this thing. And then there's a jet, like
she invited a bunch
Andy
of rich
Garcia
people.
Licks his finger and puts it in the air. And he's like, oh, there's a storm a
there's
coming.
There's a storm a brewing.
Yeah. And I was then like, it goes, oh, cool. Sharknado. Let's do this. I'm cool with it.
I will say in the very beginning when. So the thing is, Sky has left to go, I don't know, Australia,
I guess,
or something for business.
Well, I feel like he's in New York.
And he's in
and
New York.
He's okay. learning the hotel industry from like the best of the best.
In six weeks.
But he wants
it's a crash course.
They've
Tom.
Offered him a job and he wants to stay there. And he knows that, I mean, Sophie's not going to leave the island. She just renovated this hotel. And so now they're married, but they
are
both,
they married?
The first movie
well,
was
they have to
about
be. She's
Sophie's
pregnant.
It's 2018, Tom.
The first,
well, even in 1979, apparently.
True, yeah.
The first movie, I know you didn't say it, was about Sophie's wedding.
Got it. Okay.
To this guy.
I,
so
just assume, I was like, okay, man, it's so weird.
Well,
it's,
you know what? At the beginning, don't they decide just not to get married and go explore the world? I think that's the whole...
I don't remember.
So, but like, that's the thing is like, into.
I don't think they are technically married.
It didn't even cross
my
mind that they weren't like... They're a couple. I was like, yeah,
look,
man.
Even if they got married in the first
matter.
One,
it's
it
not.
Doesn't mean that they got married in this
no,
one.
No, no, no.
This is like, an alternate dimension.
There's no correlation between things.
Doc Brown and Marty went back in time, and we've got an alternate Mamma Mia
because
of it.
The point is, they're together. They're having a kid together, whether they're technically married or not.
Who
they're
cares?
Together, and they're two parts of the world,
yes.
And so they give them the conflict. What I did like was the camera work. I liked the two rooms.
That was clever. That was cool.
I didn't.
Where like you've got Sophie's room in Greece and Sky's room in
they
New
look
York,
at each other in the mirrors, but they're
it's
in
like
the...
It's obviously a set that was built with a Jason, no.
It's like a two walls, but it was supposed to be different locations.
What do you call, a wall?
Adjoining.
Adjoining wall. Yeah.
It was really cool, though, them singing, because they were singing into the mirror and the other one was behind them.
Right.
And then they show them both against their walls, but it's like not a fake split screen. It's
the camera like pans around from one
like
side
to
the other.
Yeah, so it was really cool looking. But again, it was a very contrived, just
we have to have them in conflict.
That they solve at the very end by
him just showing up.
By him going, never mind, I won't do it.
Him showing up with an army of people.
He was like,
In case she got mad.
So,
well, you gotta be sick. Yeah, right,
so they go, they end up going to this like shanty fisherman town or whatever, because Donna and Bill end up, when they're on the water one day, there's a guy that's stuck on his boat and he's supposed to go to interrupt his love of his life's
wedding.
I saw
this guy and I was just like, this is coming back.
Yeah. So they save him and he ends up going and stopping the wedding, and she jumps in the water. You know, it's a little nice, cute
and then
moment.
And then I realize we're in Italy.
Those guys
are mafiosos.
Did you see them jump in the water after them? They weren't just like,
he's dead.
Yeah, that
he didn't make it out of the water.
That guy is a hell of a fighter if he got out of that situation. But
it's going to be very much easy. It's going to be a lot easier for him to sleep with the fishes.
Yeah,
he's already in the ocean.
So they flash forward, and in present time, there's this big like hurricane or whatever. Everything's destroyed. None of the people are going to be able to make it to the island. So Bill is at a bar, and he sees that fisherman guy, or he's like, you remember me? You saved my life.
Like, and
so then,
wasn't Apollonia the name of
horse?
Apollonia is the girl that Michael marries.
Yes, in the Godfather. I knew it, and I was like, "Are we doing the Godfather?" Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
Who
but
was?
I feel like maybe I'm thinking Appaloosa, but it just sounds
Appaloosa
like a horse.
The girl that gets blown up in the car in Michael's first wife in the Godfather was Appaloosa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's at this bar and he realizes that no one's going to be.
Sorry. Right. Spoiler.
And these guys are all loaded, and so he's like, "Hey, everybody,
like drunk, not rich."
Yeah. Right. They're not rich because the guys. No. He says he's like, "We've dried up."
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
but so he's like, "Do you guys want to go to a party? Bring your friends and family." And so they end
up. I do like where they go. Oh, when they say family,
yeah. But they end up bringing three like huge boatfuls of people doing choreographed dance. But when you look at them, they look like young white people.
Yes.
They do not look like Greek fishermen.
They look like they went to the local dance studio.
Yeah.
It was like, can we get like 50 people?
I'm like,
well, based on the routine, I think it's more like they posted a flash mob ad on Craigslist.
That's probably true, yeah.
Which it is, but it's like, you had a bunch of Greek fishermen, and I know they said bring your families, but then they had boatloads of like white kids.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, not saying there were any black, but I just mean they're like
there
young,
were not
did
you
Greek,
see,
not
did
Greek,
you see
not
a single
Greek
black person
fishermen.
In this movie?
I did.
Yeah.
I
did
saw
really?
Some black dancers.
Okay.
Hats off to the handicapped dancer in the Waterloo scene.
I
think that's cool.
No, I'm not against it, but it also, I don't, at the same time, it felt kind of proud of itself. I don't know. But
it was front and center.
She was front and center.
But I do like how they kind of built that Bugsby Berkeley.
Yeah, around her.
Bugsby Berkeley thing around her. Like, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool.
I think it was cool. I think, what musicals, and Joe, you've never seen musicals, so I won't
ask you. Jesus Christ, superstar. Yeah.
But it's like, what musical?
And nobody could be in a wheelchair in that because he just healed them.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Boop.
Somebody's in a wheelchair, they're like, Jesus is a dick. Like, come on, dude. Lay hands.
Lepers, goddammit.
Yeah.
But in all the musicals I've seen, and I see a fair amount of musicals, I review them, and it's like, I've never seen someone dancing in a wheelchair. Like, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Why not? And it was perfectly fine. Like you said, the scene worked around her. That was fine. I think
so. Look for in 2019,
Murder Ball the Musical.
Oh, my God. Sign me up.
Yeah.
That is a musical I can get behind.
So Waterloo is the song. That's a new one in this movie where they have this meet cute where Harry's trying to beg her to steal his virginity in the French restaurant. They're in France at this point, and they do the whole Waterloo thing. There's a Napoleon hat, which actually is in the first movie, so a nice little Easter egg. Donna has the Napoleonic hat like in her room or whatever.
Is that
so.
A word? Napoleonic?
Yeah.
Well, that is a word. Yeah. That's a word. Yeah. Good job.
So it's like the blue French horn. Yeah, and How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's that one, and then we already mentioned she meets Bill. Is she trying to get to the island because she's just on a.
So she hooks up with
Harry.
Headbanger Harry.
Yeah.
She gets on the ferry.
She's trying. To
I
get
did.
On the ferry.
I did.
Well,
oh,
we know
true.
That he didn't get her pregnant.
That's true. I do. I did enjoy the customs agent.
He was funny.
Yes,
that
I did
was
like
good.
That a lot.
But he also, speaking of timelines, he apparently is
did not age.
Ageless.
I'm like,
no, he had gray in
no,
his beard.
No,
I don't.
That was bad because I'm looking. I'm like, what are they going to do to age him? And he looks exactly
nothing.
Same.
But yeah, I did enjoy like the interaction.
He was great. Your hair was shorter here.
Yeah,
looked better shorter. And then
when he sees older Skarsgård and older Firth, he was like, now you
age has not been good to you.
But
your face
you.
Has completely yeah but that was funny and from the first one Harry is gay so
oh,
that
really?
Connection was yeah
oh that's
at
right
at the end of the movie because with Donna and stuff he's like well I'm not this isn't gonna work between us like he wasn't in contention for with Sam because Sam you know Sam and Donna end up
did
getting
they,
together
is that a reveal at the end or do we know from the jump that he's gay
no well, at the end
well, I don't think he knew apparently. Or he wouldn't be
at the end because
I forgot about that. I will say there was some stuff in this where I'm like, is he supposed to be gay?
Yeah,
there is some. I will say when he's dancing with Skarsgård on the boat. When I was just like,
I was like,
what are we doing?
Because in the first one, at the end, because it's you know Sam ends up with her and they just remove him from the equation because he's like, well, I'm not, you know. And then Skarsgård, I think, has a family, so he's like, I'm not going to leave my family.
Right?
Sam
but he
has,
does leave his family.
No. Sam.
He leaves his family in this one because he ends up hooking up with the friend.
Well, maybe they're divorced by the second one. I mean, in the first one, I think he says, I'm not going to leave my family. And then I'm guessing Brosnan is divorced. That's why he, or maybe he just left.
Well, if he
finally
wasn't,
left
he
her.
Is now.
Yeah, exactly. But so my point is they took Harry out of the equation. But the whole customs thing is because, you know, that was a real thing. You know, we're not just like, oh, that seemed like he is.
Right.
So there were some jokes there that were good. But anyway, so Bill ends up taking her to the island because.
What is playing?
I don't know.
I think it's something on my computer in the background.
So. Are you watching a video for Candy Crush Saga to earn more jelly beans or whatever?
It's like I haven't opened a new tab in like 20 minutes. I don't know what's going on.
So Bill ends up sailing. He's like on this nice little racing schooner, whatever it is.
It's
and
a sailboat.
A sailboat is a schooner, you dummy.
You know what? There is no Easter Bunny.
So, God, I want a second one. I love that movie. So, Bill ends up taking her over to the island, and then they hook up on the boat overnight. He romances her.
Right.
That's their little thing. Again.
And then he's leaving. Like, he even
one
says.
Night, I got a race to go to.
Yeah, I'll be back in
back
3 weeks.
In a week.
3 weeks.
Those three?
Yeah,
was
because.
A week. Okay.
So then we don't actually, the current day stuff is non-essential. Like
no,
I feel
this
like
it's all about Donna in the
yeah.
Flashback.
So like I don't like I, to it's me you could take the Amanda Seyfried stuff out.
No, it was just a way to get everybody in one movie. Like
that's
it's fair. Yeah no. So he drops her off the island, says I'll be back after this boat race that I'm in, and they've hooked up. So the two one night stands have happened. Then Sam shows up. So Donna's exploring the island. She ends up going into a barn. It's a big storm is coming, just like the one that Andy Garcia senses in Modern Time. But the storm comes all of a sudden. I think. Bill called it or something because he's like, there's a storm.
There's a storm a brewing.
He's a boat racer, so like he knows the weather or whatever. And she's like, I'll be fine. She hears a horse freaking out. She goes. The place is like falling apart. The horse gets trapped in this stable underground or wherever it is. And she goes in to get help. And then here comes Sam riding on his motorcycle.
For a second, I was like, oh, please don't tell me the horse is one of the potential fathers. Oh,
you know, okay. So she's hooked up with these three dudes, right?
But this was actually a relationship. So
right,
two one-night stands.
But what I'm saying
them,
is, this is really gross. These dudes are dumping loads into her.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, that's how sex works.
Right. And she's totally cool with it.
It's the 70s.
It's the,
But she doesn't even think, she's like, I could get pregnant. What am I doing?
Well, she could be on the pill.
I guess that's true.
They were around in the 70s.
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't. I feel like she's not in no position, or she may have been, I don't know.
She's in several positions.
That's what I'm saying, to get pills.
Yeah, but either way,
you
what is
you take them with you. She's only been gone to the island for like two days.
I guess that's true. That's true. It's only been 2 days.
Either way,
a good point.
Either way, this
like,
happens.
Have you ever seen the packet pill packets? They fit right in. You can even put them in a clutch. You don't even need a big bag.
It's just a circle.
Regardless, yeah, a circle. She has sex with these guys. I don't think we're in any position to criticize. It is what it is.
I'm not. The sex isn't the thing. It's not the three dudes in 3 days. That's not the thing. It's the fact that she's just like, yeah, dude, go ahead.
I mean, it.
She was a free spirit.
She was only the valedictorian at Oxford. She didn't know. She had no idea.
They didn't teach about that stuff.
She didn't
then.
See getting off the island.
Yeah. They didn't have Teen Mom hadn't started yet. Yeah. Like, how would she know? She had no idea.
Sam helps save the horse. They fall in love, and then they spend a week together at this place
with
and
the horse. They fell in love with the horse.
No, that was separate. So she falls in love with Sam. The horse is somewhere else. He's fine. But so they spend the week together, and then everything's just hunky dory. And then she stumbles upon his journal or whatever that has a letter and a picture. From his
I love when you fiance. Get the romance montage and I'm like, seriously, we just got an origin story for overalls.
Yeah.
That's what this has been reduced to.
Because in the first movie, the whole movie, Donna, she's a fixer upper. Like, she has been at this hotel by herself, you know, no man, and she's overalls, she's a worker. So they had to show
she's dead angel ghost. She's got overalls.
That's her outfit and in the play. Okay.
She has continued in the afterlife to age, but she has not changed her fashion.
Right.
Also, in the first movie, sorry, Joe, in the first movie, they make Donna and the Dynamos out to be this famous girl band that toured around.
Yeah.
When did Donna and the Dynamos happen? She leaves college, goes to the island, and stays there.
And gets pregnant.
Well, because of the timeline, even though it's 1979, they could have performed one song in a Greek bar and had it become a viral video.
Oh, I see. That's perfect. They had those viral videos.
Yeah, and
I think it was featured on, like, That's Incredible and Real People.
Got me.
These were actual shows.
Star Search
would have been like the mid 80s.
Oh, okay.
But they throw that away. They're like, Donna and the Dynamos, the biggest girl power band out there. They're going to reunite. And the two older ladies, you know, they're funny. I like it better than the first one, but they're her band. But in this movie, in the origin story, you never see any time period that Donna Dynamos could have toured.
Yeah.
And also, she was supposed to be pregnant with Sophie while they were doing Donna and the Dynamos. She gets pregnant and stays on the island. So that completely...
It's almost like this is poorly written.
Oh, that's
is
crazy.
Is that the accusation you're lodging?
I just thought I would mention another thing that makes
this
zero...
This is a big steaming turd.
Yeah.
That the only way this movie could be worse as if it were based on the music of Kid Rock and performed entirely via farts.
I was like, by Chad Kroeger?
Yeah.
The best of both worlds.
So he ends up leaving.
Can we say that Pierce Brosnan does his best rock impression where he's like, I'll hold this random tarp here and you go tie it down. And she's like, okay. And they tie down one post.
It was more believable than the Rock thing. But.
Get out of here. I believe the Rock can hold a bridge over Pierce Brosnan holding...
It wasn't the same thing. He was tying down a sign.
There's anything we know about this... There's anything we know about this family. They're not good at tying things
that
down.
That is correct.
So, Bill, again, we're staying in the flashbacks. That's what this whole movie is. So Bill ends up coming back after the boat races. He sees that, you know, Donna's upset or whatever. He romances her. And then they go out sailing.
Hooks up with her again.
Yeah, they go out sailing on the water or whatever. But then our little buddy Sam comes back. He's apparently... left his fiance. He's going to try to make things work with Donna. And he comes back and the old Greek grandmother.
I did like the old Greek woman.
That's funny. I mean, that's a funny
It's a trope
convention.
That I do.
It
enjoy.
Is, yeah. But she's, you know, she lays down the law and was like, I know who you are and you're too late. She's out with, you know, blue eyes over, you know, whatever. Handsome, you know.
Sinatra was in this movie?
Well, no. Okay. John McClane. So, so, you know, she's giving him this thing and then he's all depressed and he just leaves. Like, that's it.
Yeah, well, like, right, he does. He leaves, and he's just like, "I'm going to do what I can to win her back." And she was like, "No, you're not." He's like, "Okay,
defeated."
And then Christine,
Bransky's
character, younger version, like tries to hit on him, and he completely blows right past her. I guess the other gal has an obsession with cake.
So, yeah, the two characters, one of them is a, what would you say, Christine Bransky's character. I'm just trying to figure out how to put her. She's
uppity?
A,
she's brash.
No. But she's a very sexually open.
Oh,
like,
she likes the D.
Yeah, and young guys. But yeah. The prequel stuff doesn't show that. But, I mean, she's open about her.
Alludes to it.
Well, I mean, she's... No, I mean, like, she's the same age as them. I'm not saying this was an example, but what we know about this character, she's open about her sexuality. She's promiscuous.
She's a Samantha.
Yeah. Ooh, and she's a cougar in the first one, trying to hit on the young guys at the wedding and stuff. But in this one, she tries to hit on Sam, but he's not interested. He's interested in Donna. And then the other one, the other friend, is interested in young Skarsgård.
This is horror movie level... Stalkerish.
Yes. This is strange. Your best friend is with some guy, and you're going to get that upset that he's with her and not
a
you?
A dude
it's
that
like,
you haven't even met.
No.
I know. I was like, I honestly
this
was like,
single white female.
Did
stuff.
I miss a scene?
You didn't. It made this was terrible because it's okay to be like, I like that guy. He's hot. I hope, you know. But she's like, he's mine. He can't be with her. Why, you know, blah. And it's like, dude, you haven't talked. Like,
you've never talked
to Donna. Okay, I honestly was like, it was like my first marriage. I was questioning my sense of reality.
No.
Like, I don't remember any of this occurring.
This was so she could get upset and eat cake.
This was on the level of John McClane figuring out who Hans Gruber was for no apparent reason.
Yeah, it was. you did not miss anything. It was terrible. It was weird.
It was super weird.
It was super weird. So anyway, but so she's with him, and then
I create a whole backstory where like the friend just goes out and bangs all of Donna's ex-boyfriends just because she falls in love with them all.
Sounds like an interesting, I mean.
Yeah, it's more interesting than Mamma Mia too.
Probably be more interesting than this one. So, but I don't know. So they it ends up that, I mean, this is where
she's heartbroken.
They go leave. She stays. Oh, at the very end, she's like, her friends are like, all right, it's time to go. We're done with vacation. Let's go back to the mainland. And she's like, no, I'm staying here. Yeah. And she ends up this little bar. I thought the bar sun guy was funny.
I enjoyed
the singer.
It. He was a little over the top, but it was
whatever. It was goofy.
What we're watching.
Right.
Right. You know, totally.
I thought it was funny. But so she ends up, when she goes to this island, she goes to this bar and she ends up getting a job there singing. There's this terrible band. The bar is owned by the older Greek lady's son, but he gets her as a part of the band. They do a little routine, whatever. But at the end of the day, instead of going home, the older Greek woman, the owner's mother, says, well, I've got this house here, and if you fix it up, then you can stay here for free. And so she ends up staying on the
She's
island.
Like,
so that's,
we could stay and make us a hotel.
Yeah, so that's how we get to the first movie. So we've now heard the entire story, and we go to present day, and it's Sophie with the baby thing.
We see Lily.
The dads all show up. So Sam was there because we know he left his family and never talked to them again.
He's a deadbeat dad.
Yeah. But then we see that Colin Firth is made. First of all, just who would do this? Like the businessman Colin Firth leaving.
He's in the middle of like a multi-billion-dollar deal. He was like,
multi-billion-dollar.
Family's more important.
And he's like, the contract's fine, whatever you want to put. It's like,
he's like, cool. We pay you $0.
I would at least be like, hey, vice president next in command, like you work this out, what's best for the company. It's just weird that he's like, whatever, see ya.
Hey, this girl who might or might not be my daughter is opening a hotel
in Greece
again. Right. So that's more, but like, it's not even like it's a wedding or
no, it's just,
like
it's just a grand opening of a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. Over your entire company and career. So there's that. And then, Bill is supposed to be accepting an award.
The
He's
greatest
like
Swedish man of all time. I'm not making that
that's
up.
That's the award.
That's the award.
The greatest Swedish man of all time.
Yeah.
Award.
I mean, it's like the greatest Swedish man.
Okay. So,
and they can only give it away once. Yeah. It's of all time. They've been sitting on it. They've been sitting on this thing
He's
for
like
a thousand
they're
years.
They're like, you know, I know you're a psychopathic serial killer because he is in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
But here. Yeah. You're also the greatest Swede.
So he ends up getting his twin brother, who's heavier, to do that, whatever. He accepts the award. So they both get to the island. They bring the boat full of not Greek.
Before we get to that, he says, I would like to thank my mother. And they cut to a woman who is probably the same age as like Meryl Streep, the woman in the green dress. Like the person that called, like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's not his. There's
He's
no
67.
Way.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that woman's his mother?
She had him when she was. Well, let's talk about this. Cher is 3 years older than Meryl Streep.
Oh, is she really?
In real life?
That's hilarious.
So you figure that one out. I mean, I guess Meryl Streep's playing a woman 30 years younger.
It happens all the time. I think in The Graduate, I think Annette not Annette Bening, Anne Bancroft is, I think she's like 3 or 4 years older than Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
She's supposed
but she
to
plays
be,
it up like.
No, she, you can't tell the right. way it's played, but yeah.
How old is Dustin Hoffman supposed to be in that movie?
He's supposed to be just graduated from college.
So 24?
Like 22, 23.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's just they shouldn't have put years and ages because
that's why
it all
never,
starts unraveling.
If you ever read comic books, if you look at it, they never put a year.
No.
Yeah.
That's,
it's always like zero.
Well, now they can't even do that. It used to be like 19, but you couldn't see the last two. And
right.
now even that's problematic,
yeah,
right?
It's just like the year scratched out.
So they come with the boat full of not Greeks. They got the young person's disco club crew to
the local. Let's talk about the choreography in this movie for a second, shall we?
Okay.
Like, this is like a community theater production of Grease 2.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it is so bad. It's so bad, I went to IMDb to look up the choreographer for this movie.
Okay.
So,
because I think the director of the first one might have been the choreographer or director of the stage musical, so it worked very well.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah,
there's so IMDb lists an associate choreographer.
Okay,
okay. Do you know who they list as like the head choreographer?
Pierce Brosnan,
Meryl Streep.
Nobody. This movie, according to IMDb, this movie has an associate choreographer. But not a choreographer.
Judging by
and you know what? I believe him.
Bill,
right,
you can't,
that's exactly what it is.
We can't give you full choreography credentials yet. You're only an associate choreographer. Do you think you can handle this?
You know what? I'll give it a shot.
If this pans out, you may be working your way up to choreographer.
There were some scenes with Cinderella. What's her name? Lily James.
Is delightful.
Yeah. Where I'm just like, did you just get hammered before you did this scene? And just be like,
why?
I'm just going to dance with my friends. It's no
I mean, that's,
I thought
yeah.
She was, it was,
it's just like, yeah, it's like for choreographer, they just brought in somebody to go, yeah, wing it.
I'll take my check, please.
Yeah.
Make it payable to cash.
Let's just try one. Just, you know, just go for it.
It looked like at least Lily James, especially, but and her friends were having fun. It just felt very forced to make the new songs fit with origin story.
Yeah,
and then the rehash of the old songs just felt lame. Like, it's like we've already heard all these songs and better versions. I thought Meryl Streep was a great, like, she may not be as good as the Broadway original cast, but I mean, she did a good job. And this one, I just felt like the songs were so forced. Like, was it Dancing Queen on the boat with the choreography?
Yes. Yeah.
All the people flash mobbing Dancing Queen just to get in. And I think Cher at the end does either Dancing Queen or Mamma Mia. No, at the end. Like,
I didn't stay that long.
Oh, so.
At the lazy encore end that they do.
Oh.
Like, they did it in the first one, too, where it was just them in jumpsuits on a blank, on an empty soundstage.
Yeah.
I'm like, the only way this could get lazier is if you just walked into the theater and someone had put a boombox in front of the screen and pressed play.
I mean, this was a theater thing. This was a, you know, encore, not encore, a curtain call. Like, so at the end of musicals,
it's a way to shoehorn in songs that they couldn't fit in the rest of the movie.
I mean, this is not a movie characters. This is Meryl Streep and all of them. You know, the younger and older ones are together. It's just a fun way they do it at the end of musicals just to get the audience so they can stand up and sing along.
It's a weird alternate timeline where they all just started hanging out.
No,
with each
it's
other.
Just for fun. I mean, it's whatever. But there's two more scenes. So there's the big party for the grand opening of the hotel. This is when Cher comes.
Lily James like tears up her invitation. She's like, she's not going to come anyway. And then her boyfriend slash husband slash baby's daddy was just like, no, I invite her anyway.
I don't even remember how
in the very beginning, she writes grandma.
Yeah.
And she has it. And
I know she
right
tears
on top
it
up. And she tears it up.
I didn't know how.
And
she...
then he, Sky brings her.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, she shows up and then Amanda Seyfried's like, I didn't invite you. Oh, it's the best party, little girl. It's so dumb.
It's a very good Cher impression, by the way.
About as good as, I mean, she's just so bad in this. I don't care if you like Cher. Again, I know this is unpopular, but she does not work in this movie. It's silly. Her voice doesn't fit the ABBA songs. But then she sees Andy Garcia.
Should have been Bette Midler.
Yeah, but she sees Andy Garcia, and this whole time, Andy Garcia is just like this really, like, what would you say? He's
morose.
Enigmatic. He's just this guy that, like, you can't tell what's up with him. He's not interested in a relationship. He sees
if this was a slasher flick, he'd be the killer.
Yeah. He sees the two friends, but he's not interested in hooking up with them because Christine Baranski is like, oh, this guy is hot.
Right.
They're funny little moment, but he's like, I'm done with love. I'm not interested. But then he sees Cher, and then Cher walks down from where she landed on the helicopter and does the whole Fernando song with fireworks in the background. Like, I thought the moment was funny for like 30 seconds, but the whole number was exhausting. Yeah. This whole thing. I mean, it was beyond
and
ludicrous.
And then we meet Andy Garcia's brother, who is the caretaker from the hotel in John Wick 2.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, the second, not Ian McShane.
Okay.
But when John Wick goes to the other hotel. Oh. In Rome or wherever he, wherever the, yeah, when he goes
yeah,
to,
yeah, I
when
can't
he
think of who it is.
I don't know who he yeah, is. Yeah. Oh, is it?
I'm
who's
not
the guy?
Know.
That, who's anyway. The guy that played Alan Quartermain?
That's Richard Chamberlain.
That was not Richard Chamberlain.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. So they're they're together now. She does the big Fernando thing. It's ridiculously wedged in there. It sounds terrible. And then the next scene is 9 months later. And so the baby is born. They're hiking up the mountain, which is a soundstage entrance. They're walking.
They're actually rock climbing. Up the side of the
mountain. Who knows how they got there. Yeah. But she walks in and she's upset because Donna isn't there to meet the baby. But then Ghost Donna shows up and sings this whole song to her.
Ghost Donna.
She is. I mean, it's she's dead, but she's like haunting them. And she has this moment, which is, a tearjerker for, if you're into the movie, it's a touching moment.
Yeah.
And then she leaves and closes the door. So that's kind of like, Donna was there. Oh, she's like, I wish my mother could be here. And someone says she is one of those. She is here. Yeah. And then so she walks out after seeing the baby's baptism and closes the doors. Like, that's a nice little closing to her story, and walks out. She backs out and kind of grabbing for the doors behind her, like, oh got him. Okay. And closes the door. And then, I mean, that's it.
That was it.
And then they have the big curtain call number with all the actors or whatever.
Well, then don't forget, you get the scenes where Lily James is giving birth.
Oh yeah.
Where I love when she's in labor, but still had time to change her outfit.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mashup of the baptism and Lily James going through birth of Sophie, and so
like The Godfather.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this movie is Godfather 2. They're telling the story of,
at least it's not Godfather 3.
Oh yeah.
And you get the baptismal scene where everybody's getting killed in sync with the baptism.
If that happened in this movie, I'd
be like, let's do it.
Yeah. I'd volunteer to be one of them.
Shoot him in the eye.
Mo Green me.
Mo Green.
Mo Green. I'm Mo Green.
Hey, I'm Mo Green.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I am out of the Tropicana.
Oh, man.
Oh.
What a great scene.
It's just, this movie's not good. I don't get it. I mean, I wish that somehow, if what the critics did with the first one, like you said, Tom, is if they've come around, I wish there was somehow to amend it, because it just seems like a crime that the first one's a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is an 80-something.
Also, don't wait 14 years.
That was Incredibles.
Sorry, right. How long? What's the gap 10. Between this? Okay.
It also makes me feel like, I'm like, I reviewed the first one, and I was like, I've been doing this 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, longer, because it wasn't like it was the first movie I reviewed.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
Whoa.
I started reviewing in 2007, so I mean,
I think the first movie I officially reviewed was the Ed Norton Hulk movie.
Okay.
Good movie.
Yeah, it was
underrated.
Yeah.
Better than Thor 2.
No Eric Bana, but
good. Or Ang Lee, for that matter.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like I said, if you have fun with this movie, fine, but I see this as an alternative to going to a karaoke bar, a night out with the girls. Like, it's entertaining if you just want to see a bunch of music videos stitched together and call it a movie, but it's so unnecessary and
it's lifeless.
It doesn't have the energy. Again, I think the cast was sleepwalking through it, with the exception of Lily James and a couple of the younger cast. But it just feels like they're all being forced. Like, I think they had a vacation. They were like, well, you can go to this Greek island for a week and film here for a couple
Actually,
days.
We're going to stay here in California because you're going to do this shit on a green screen.
There definitely was a lot of that. But I feel like they got them out there for a week, paid for their vacation, or maybe they stayed for 2 weeks, filmed for a week. No one seemed like they wanted to be there and were having fun. And it just felt. The songs they forced in were bad, and the songs that they repeated were not as good as the first. So I just found no joy out of it, and it was a shame because, again, I really loved the first one. But even
it got a round of applause in the theater I was in.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because it's a fun night out movie, but it's not good movie.
Yeah, I didn't even think it was fun. Like, I at least
Didn't think it was. I just what it's marketed for. It's a girls' night out movie or whatever. I mean, doesn't have to be girls, but it's just a check your brain, just sing along in your head or whatever, dance in your seat to the music, and it's nothing more. And I think that if you know the first one, it's very contained. You didn't need more, and so it was obviously a cash grab. The first one made a boatload of money, and I don't know. I'll be interested.
They waited too long, honestly. Yeah. They probably could have made a boatload of money if they had
made $40 million.
Well, I guess that's true.
Opening weekend, I feel like for...
Number one movie of the week.
A movie like this, that seems like a lot of money. Probably. Especially, like, I'm surprised they released it in the
time... middle of summer.
Yeah, like, I feel like this movie could have made even more money.
Spring release,
yeah, like not
February,
in the middle,
April,
in
maybe.
The middle of summer seems like a very.
But it's got to be counter programmed.
I was going to say it's good counter programming.
They have a week before Mission Impossible
and a week after
Ant-Man and all that stuff.
And then the dudes
will be like, "Hey, we're going to go see Mission Impossible if you want to go see Mamma Mia."
Yeah,
and all right,
yeah.
I'll be interested to see where this ends up because, again, the first one made $700 million. It was insane. I was trying to look up the first one's box office. I don't know, Tom. Or, no, I'm sorry, the opening weekend. We didn't talk about that on the box office report. The first one opened to $27 million.
Oh, well,
so, it beat the bigger opening, but will it have the legs?
It's also been 10 years. Ticket prices are higher.
That's true.
So it probably, adjusted for inflation, it's probably right
on the cusp
where it was last time.
And will this have the legs? That's my question. Are people
think movies have legs anymore unless you're a tentpole movie.
I don't know. I mean, it just depends. I mean, The Greatest Showman wasn't a tentpole movie.
That's
and that
true.
Broke all the records
That's
for having legs. I mean, if a movie's good, people will see it. You know, I mean, not saying all movies that are good make a ton of money, but what I mean is, though, if a movie is something like this, like it could be an event, like, oh, it's so fun to go see, like people will tell people, and musicals are perfect for that because you don't have to think too much. Again, even if you're not involved in the story, if you like the music of ABBA, again, it's like you're watching music videos strung together or covers strung together of music videos.
So can I get a musical set to the songs of Black Flag?
No. Unless you write it and somehow license it.
Interesting.
And play it in very, very small theaters.
Yeah. Sure. You can do whatever you want,
Joe.
What
about Pennywise?
No.
Damn it.
The clown?
No.
The dancing clown.
There
it's
was
perfect.
A Stephen King musical.
There was?
What?
They made a musical out of Carrie.
Okay. Are you serious?
Yeah. In the 70s, it ran for like...
Oh, it was... It made
people,
no
people
money,
revive
right?
it sometimes... Because it like it, but yeah, it
was
I
that
mean,
bad.
It supposedly
there was a big
bad.
Story around it, and I can't remember the exact details, but apparently it was just a horrible, and I think it closed very quickly.
But people do revive it sometimes and do because it's
just because it's weird.
It's because it's weird. Yeah. There was a Superman musical too.
There was, yeah. Look Up in the Sky.
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Starring Leslie Ann Warren as Lois Lane.
Wow. Okay.
It's weird. All right. We don't have time for this.
Yeah. So, Mamma Mia, here we go again. When people ask, how are they going to do it when they used all the songs in the first one?
They're not.
They just recycle them and they hope that you are entertained.
How are they going to do it? Not well.
Correct.
So, well, I guess that's it for this one. Don't say we never go outside of our comfort zone. We could have done Equalizer 2, but we didn't.
Yeah.
Joe, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, we could have done it anyway.
That's true. That's fair.
And made you see it for no reason.
Oh,
so,
God.
So that's it for this one. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find us online, you can do so at facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers. If you want to throw your money in the hat, we will take it. We have a very big hat, so keep it coming. Patreon.com.
I don't want to brag, but my hat's in front of the screen.
All right.
We didn't say Jimmy hat. So there's a very dated slang terminology.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So, patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, I think we will finally actually do Mission Impossible.
Oh, no, I think we're doing Christopher Robin.
Since it's opening, I'll totally do Christopher Robin.
I think that's 2 weeks.
I mean, I'd do them.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
He's an adult
like
in
that.
This movie. He's an adult.
That's true. Okay.
So
I was going to say, have you learned nothing from the controversy that we spent 15 minutes talking about last episode?
So I can say it now.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's fine if you want to. I mean,
why is poo sticky? That's not
he
honey.
He definitely looks a little matted.
Real
it's
quick
not
question.
Not honey.
I found a record at the record store the other day, and it said on the back of it, the first adventure of Winnie the Pooh, Pooh, the honey pot, the tree, and guns. is there a gun in the Winnie the Pooh story? Because I wish I bought it, but I forgot to go pick it up.
I've never heard of a gun in a Winnie
I don't
Pooh
remember.
Story.
Like, I read the first book, and...
I mean, this was an old record, and it literally said part of the story when I was listening to things.
Oh, I do think
guns.
There's a thing where he's got, like, a like one of those...
Pop
like,
gun?
Like
he
pop
does have
guns.
A pop gun.
Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing him.
That must be a thing. Yeah. Because I'm like, I laughed out loud. I'm like, I don't remember a story of guns in the
he's
Winnie
got,
the
like,
Pooh
a hat
saga.
On.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like an Elmer
and it's
Fudd
got
hat.
Like the cork on yes. a string okay. that
yeah,
goes
he's
in
like,
it.
He's doing
yeah.
like a march.
And I know kids used to love, you know, toy guns and play yeah. cowboys and Indians. So I guess they were trying to appeal like, oh, and it has a gun. That's a cool yeah. thing for, you know, kids to hear about. Just a weird time. But anyway, okay. Thank you for answering that. Because
no,
it's been burning.
We played with toy guns all the time growing yeah, up.
Right.
Yes, we did. Yeah. It was...
Different
totally
time.
A thing.
Now we play with real
and
ones.
Back then it was like, I want the one that looks
the
most the like
most
an
real
gun.
You know what? Six Flags, in Disney World, all theme parks, but you know, you're not allowed to bring fake weapons or anything. In the Six Flags shop, they sell toy SWAT team kits and things that have assault rifles and fake guns. So I guess when
it's
you
like
buy
the
them there.
Yeah, it's like the airport. They don't want you to bring yours in.
Yeah.
You
yeah. But when you buy them there, you can't bring them in. But when you buy them there, you can run around the park with fake guns they sell.
I remember.
That's so weird.
Coming back from Disney World when I was a kid, and I had bought. They used to sell outside of in the gift shop of Pirates of the Caribbean. They sold like little tiny replicas of those. But like they were tiny,
oh,
tiny.
Right. Yeah.
But they were metal.
Yep,
and it was a cap gun, and yeah. you could and it would you could
make
only put like one cap in there at a time,
right?
But it would,
yeah. yeah. And so it was
we
like
had, I had a revolver cap gun,
sure.
Yeah, I had
all
one of those too. Yeah.
Kids, yeah,
But and the yeah, like I stopped security, and they were like, "Oh, that's you're an adorable little moppet.
Yeah.
Go on with your gun,
right?
child."
Last story, but I watched the video from the opening of Disneyland.
Here's some cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah right. The opening of Disneyland, and the commentators there, and. Adventureland was a bunch of kids running around with toy rifles playing cowboys and Indians.
Yeah.
Yep.
Inside, like, that was a feature of the park.
Oh, I remember
like,
running
kids...
around our neighborhood.
I know, but this is in Disneyland. I'm just saying it's such a weird concept that kids would go and play with toy guns running around Disneyland.
Yeah.
so
different
weird.
Times, but
yeah.
man.
Very.
Very different times.
Yes.
And then, yeah, and you go to Fantasyland, they were all in blackface.
oh,
it's
my God.
All things that were horribly offensive today.
But we're going like, to fire James Gunn.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah, totally. Like,
right,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, like, you don't want to even talk about that song of the South ride.
yeah.
I mean, that's not good.
Let's dig up Disney's old tweets.
Yeah. Right.
yeah, before there were tweets. Right. But yeah.
So anyway, Mission Impossible is coming at you next week. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Stephanie is crowned queen of the graduation luau.
They were closer now, Fernando. Every hour, every minute seemed to last eternally. I was so afraid, Fernando. We were young and full of life, and none of us prepared to die. And I'm not ashamed to say the roar of guns and cannons almost made me cry. There was something in the air that night. The stars were bright, Fernando. They were shining there for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.